The kids to Proverbs chapter 31. Remain standing with me. We want to honor God's word as I read these verses here. Let me say too, while you're finding those verses, I get here pretty early in the morning. I'm usually here about 7:15, 7:30 on Sunday mornings. And this whole team up here was already here this morning practicing. And I know when we left Wednesday, they were here practicing. So give them a big hand while you're finding that. Give them a hand while you've got your Bible in your hand, right? What it is, my Bible. Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to be in 10 through 31, but I'm only going to read the first from 10 to 14. But I want you to stay there because I'm going to be going through these verses. There's several great points here that we'll talk about. So let's start with verse 10. It says, "An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. And she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you this morning that we're here, Lord. And Lord, we want to honor you today in your word by reading this and teaching this correctly, Lord. And so, Lord, remove any obstacles right now that would be in a place that can hinder that, and let your Holy Spirit work in us today, and let us be have an outpouring of gratitude and thankfulness for our wives, and be encouragers to them. And Lord, we love you, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so we're here. We have family day, and if you missed last month, the weather was kind of crazy, and we missed family day because of the snow, and we had service on Saturday night. So here's the thing. If you're here this morning and you're elbowing your wife throughout this service, ladies, I want you to remind them the first week in February when I talked about men. And I want you to elbow them back, and I want you to whisper to them and say, "You're going to listen to that sermon when we get home today." So this is not, here's the deal, this is not just directed at the women. Don't fall asleep this morning, guys, because if you're married, what we should be doing is encouraging our spouses to excel, encouraging our wives to excel in these things. And if you're here and you're single and you're not married, guys, which I know we have several, you should be taking a lot of notes on this, because this is the type of woman that you should be looking for if you want to be married. This isn't just for the ladies. This pertains to everybody here this morning. So why are we doing this? Because we started doing Family Sunday, and I wanted to make sure that we talk about the family dynamic as it is in our country, because guys, that's something that's just under attack all over. It just is. And I want to be an encouragement to our ladies, as hopefully I was to the men. And next month we'll probably talk about kids and raising them or something like that. But this proverbial mother or mom here, wife, Sierra, for her senior project a couple months ago, held a conference here at the church, and Shelley came and spoke at it and did a great job, I was told, and went through this passage, because this is just so, so important for the ladies. So let's start off with verse 10, and really the first thing here, the question you have to ask yourself is, well, why be a godly woman? Why is this important? And let's just be honest right off the bat, this is not a high priority for most women in our society. A lot of women have bought into the lie that our society is feeding, that they have to be independent. Be independent. Independent from men, independent from everything, independent from God. You just do your own thing and you be strong in it, ladies, and that's what the world is feeding you. Be independent from everything except for yourself. Do what you want to do. And you really don't have to look very hard to see that. It's all over in our society. It's all over the news. It's kind of like the thing, you're going to laugh, but what do they say? "I'm a woman, hear me roar," right? That kind of thing. They have marches and they wear crazy stuff all over themselves. And it just, instead of looking at God's word and saying, how can I conform to a biblical pattern of womanhood that God lays out here. So we should be, and here's the deal, we should be concerned, ladies and men, we should be concerned with what God's word says on this, not with what society says. And I think so many people, those afternoon talk shows, I mean, they're like Oprah and Ellen and all that, they make billions of dollars because people want to go there and look for advice on how to be a woman there when it's written right here. And so we start with this very simple truth that's found in verse 10, and that it's a good thing to be a godly woman. And verse 10, what does it say? An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. So the words translated in English here, excellent wife, literally mean an able woman. So the word describe, excellent describes strength or valor. It describes power of a soldier or an army in various places in Scripture. So this literally means a strong, able woman. When it's used here also to describe, it puts a special emphasis, and we're going to see this as we talk through this today, on moral strength, on moral worth or virtue. That's why there's some translations. Some of you guys may have a translation that says a virtuous wife. The same word is used in the book of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, it says this, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman." So it's the same word that's used there. So this first verse in 31:10, it says, so a godly woman, notice what it says. It says that she is far more precious than jewels. So having a godly woman in your life is far beyond beyond any amount of wealth that we could really assign to it or we could give to it. And those words were true when it was written in Scripture, and those same words are true today. And just be honest, having godly women as a whole, and finding them, it's a very rare thing in our society today. And so we should be encouraging the women that are in our lives to be this model of being a godly woman. And we need to think about just last month or 2 months ago when I talked to the guys that you have such an influence in your family's life. The ladies, you have a huge influence in your family's life. And there's some keys here that are laid out in Proverbs. There's some qualities that he says we should cultivate. And so that it really starts with verse 11 here. And it talks about trust, being trustworthy, being trustworthy. Go back to verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Now, this isn't just a character trait that women should have. Everybody should want to be a trustworthy person, somebody that when you say you're going to do something, you do it. You follow through. And here's, guys, that doesn't happen anymore. That just does not happen in our society. And as Christians, this is what we should do. When a man, talking about the marriage relationship, when a man has confidence in the character of his wife, what happens with their relationship? It starts thriving. It's growing. It's going to a good place. Your ladies, your integrity is going to reveal itself it most in how you deal with your family and your husband, in how you deal with him. Don't buy into what the world says that displays that men not caring how a woman treats them. Guys care how their wives treat them, and they want to know that they can trust you. They want to know that they can trust you. Every man in here desires to have a wife that he can trust, unless you're a guy who doesn't want to get married, and that's fine too. You know, that purpose may be different, and that's fine. So ladies, if your desire is to please Christ, you have to be trustworthy. He has to be able to trust you. Are you true to your word? Now listen, that's just not something that ladies should do. That's also, fellas, we should want to be somebody, like I said, that when we literally say, yes, we do it. Jesus says the same thing, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37 says this, "Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil." So we, as husband and wife, Selena and I should know, we should be able to trust one another. You, ladies, your husband should be able to trust you. Are you going to remain faithful? Not checking out some other guy, thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Here's the deal. Guys, divorce is just as high in the church as it is the world. And most of the time, the number one reasons are trustworthiness. They can't trust you with money, or you can't trust him. This is a huge thing. When you're, here's the other, I see this on social media and I can't stand it. Oh, it bothers me. If you have an issue with your spouse, don't air that over social media. Don't air that. Don't hammer down on your spouse over social media when they may not even be on social media. And you're hammering them in front of everybody. If you have a problem, what does Scripture say? If you have a problem with somebody, you go to them. That should be easier. That should be happening on a daily, regular basis in the family network. You shouldn't air that out. Or if you go out with your friends, this pertains to guys or the ladies, that the ladies go out, it shouldn't be a husband bash fest. It shouldn't be my husband did this and my husband did that. And when the guys go out, we shouldn't say how miserable our lives are because of our wives. It shouldn't be like that. We should be able to trust one another. We should be able to trust one another. Verse 12, it ties right into verse 12. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Being loyal and faithful is just really a lost art in this world. Remaining faithful. I'm going to pick on them. They're probably going to be upset. Howard and Joyce, 55 years. 55 years this week, right? 55. I heard that they were celebrating their 55th wedding anniversary. That's awesome. That is loyalty. Because I guarantee you, Howard's been ornery. And there's times she's wanted to chase him with a pan. But being loyal and faithful. I mentioned this earlier, but the divorce rate is just as high inside the church. And that's something that, guys, just be honest, that's something we don't talk about enough. That's something that we don't address enough. It's a sin. It's not right. One of those reasons is infidelity. Being honest. So why is this so important? Because we serve a God that is trustworthy and truthful. And if we want to display the character, a godly characteristic, one of those is being trustworthy. God is truth. We serve a God of truth. Here's some verses for you. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19 says this. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said and will he not do it? Or he has spoken and he will not fulfill it? If God says something, what happens? He does it. If we say something, we should do it. All of us who have been married in here, who did you take your vows before? It wasn't before the United States government. They shouldn't even be involved in marriage. It's the church. You took your vows before God. You made the commitment before God. So we should be trustworthy in those vows. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, "The rock, his work is perfect, for all of his ways are just. A God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he." So God is a truth-telling, truth-keeping God. And when we reflect that kind of honesty, when we reflect that kind of honesty, we're displaying what? A godly character. So when we say something, we should do it. Now, here's the deal. Proverbs 31 is addressed to women, but that applies to everybody. That applies to everybody. All right, what else does it say here? Second thing, go back to Proverbs 31. In verses 13 through 19, you're going to see a really hard worker. Let's read it. "She seeks wool and flax and works for willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens." I had several of these little, let me stop. I had several of these little kids say, when I said, "Tell me about what your mom does." "She feeds me. I got food," right? It's scriptural. You know, it's one of it. Let's keep going. "She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard." She was a realtor. She went and bought land. "She dresses herself with strength, makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the staff and holds, and her hands hold the spindle. So here's the thing. How do we sum all that up? Well, there's a lot of ways, but a godly woman is not interested in sitting around and doing nothing. A godly woman works hard wherever she does, whether it's at home, whether she's working at home, or whether it's working on a job or raising the children. She's working hard. There's hard work there. There's effort. It's not just sitting around not doing anything. The Bible is very clear on working hard. Once again, it seems like as I go through this, and I'm studying this, I go through this, these are all things that I can look at the outside world and go, well, this ain't happening, but it should be happening in here. The Bible is very clear. Working, we should work hard. Let me say this morning, socialism is the opposite of working hard. Taking from somebody and distributing it to somebody else who hasn't done anything is not a biblical principle. So guess what? I'm not going to support that because it's not a biblical principle. Being lazy, not working hard. Proverbs 12:11 says this, "Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense." If you work hard, what do you have? You have results. You have results. Get up in the morning and go to work and work hard. Ladies, how does this pertain to you? Maybe you don't go to a job. Work hard at home. Work hard at whatever you do. Work hard. And who are, when we're doing that, who are we working for? Who are we glorifying? God. God. Everything we should do, we should work hard in it. Paul in Ephesians 4:28 contrasts hard work, which is a godly action, with theft. With theft, which is a sin. Turn to Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28 says this, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need." So what's he saying? Stop stealing. Stop stealing. Stop stealing from the government. Stop stealing from taking things. What is theft? Taking something that is not yours for yourself. Taking something. There's a lot of ways to steal a cookie out of the cookie jar. There just is. Stop stealing and work hard and be honest. And be honest. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'm going to read several verses here. There's one in here that everybody likes to quote, but I'm going to read several here. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 11. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6 through 11. It says this, "Now we command you, brothers." Let me stop there. Who's he talking to? Believers. He's talking to believers. So it's the context here. Believers. "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you and ourselves an example to imitate." So Paul says, I want to give you an example to follow. That I'm going to work hard so you can look at my life and see, I'm not taking from anybody. I'm going to work hard for what I got. Let me keep going. It was not, verse 10. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some of you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Huh. Busybodies. You know what that is? What's a busybody? Somebody who is always in somebody else's business. They're always trying to sow discord or get in somebody else's business. You know why? Because they have way too much time on their hands. Way too much. If they would just get busy and not idle, if we go back to Proverbs 31, and not be idle, if they would just get busy, they wouldn't be busybodies in somebody else's work. Verse 12. "Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and earn their own living." Do their work quietly, earn their own living. Work hard. Don't be idle. Hey, let me say, women, you need rest too. Don't work yourselves into the dirt, right? And I know that's where us men can step up and help around the house. You know, you notice Sydney said, well, my laundry's done, but you didn't do it, Dad. See, this sermon can preach at me too. It so does. Women need some rest too. The Old Testament, God gave provision for that, where they rested on the Sabbath. So you need rest too. And fellas, we can help with that. But be a hard worker, not lazy, not wanting to not do anything. All right, so what's the third thing here? Go back to Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs. 31, verse 20. Now she's starting to help people. Let's read it. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. So what did she do first? She worked hard. She worked hard. And then what did she do with that? She took care of her family. And then what'd she do? She helped others. She helped others. So helping others. This, again, is something that literally reflects the character of God. What did God do for us? Romans 11:6. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would be no longer be grace. We didn't work. We were in need. Every single person, all my brothers and sisters in here, at one time in your life, you were in desperate need of what? A Savior from your sins. And He did it. He did it. He did it. He did all the work, and then He helped us with what? Our sin. And now we're saved. Not by anything that we did. So how can we display that character? Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So human generosity, again, reflects the generosity and graciousness of who? God. God. Remember, go back to Ephesians 4:28. I love this verse. Ephesians 4:28. What does it say? Work hard. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So we work hard, not only for our own selves, but so we can help others, so we can be merciful and show love. A character trait of God, that He showed love and mercy when we didn't deserve it. When we didn't deserve it. Now here's the thing on this. That also requires discernment. Now, nobody wants to be taken advantage of. Let me say, I would rather be taken advantage of when I see someone in need than turn my back. We should be more willing to be gracious and merciful and be taken advantage of than to close ourselves off to someone in need. Proverbs 19:17. This should be an encouraging verse for you. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. So when you're generous to the poor, who are you actually being generous to? Who are you actually lending to? The Lord. Do we look at it like that? And what happens? What's the end of that verse? Proverbs 19:17. And he will repay him for his deeds. Oh, okay. Does that mean that if I open my checkbook and I give some money to the poor, that he's going to restore me 20-fold over here on this earth and I'm going to have a huge mansion? Absolutely not. Where do we store up our treasures, guys? Heaven, right? Where is he going to repay you? Heaven. Keep focused, the eternal perspective, and not how to line my pockets, right? This isn't a prosperity message here. So here's the question. So when are we generous to the poor, we're lending to the Lord. Now let's make it practical here. I like to make everything practical, right? If Jesus was to walk up the aisle today, that's not going to happen. Let's bear with me for a second. If he was to walk up the aisle today and ask you for some food and clothing, I would have 150 people this morning stripping off their shirts and throwing their purses at Jesus. Would I not? I mean, I would. I'd throw my wallet to him. But is that my attitude that I have when I give to the poor? I just quoted this verse, Matthew 6:19-21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, whether neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yeah, but Jeff, you don't understand. I have to have the newest Tommy Hilfiger purse or whatever it is, right? I don't know. Isn't that right, though? And I mean, that's what they'll tell you. Like, just be selfish. Now, here's the deal. When you help somebody, don't do this out in the open. Don't, you know, Sierra, I was really proud of Sierra a couple weeks ago. Last weekend, weeks run together. Last weekend, Sierra, she won a scholarship. She was awarded the Webster County Republican Scholarship. We had to go, and she gave a little speech. And they have those giant checks, right, that they handed her with her name on it, and everyone's taking pictures. When you give to the poor, don't go get a giant check, okay? What does Scripture say? Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. So when you help somebody, help them. Don't let them know. Because what happens if you get the giant check? What does Scripture say? You've received all the reward you're going to get. So when you help people, do it because you love them and you care for them. Now, what's the result of working hard, ladies? You work hard not so you can keep the grain piled up in the back and you can build bigger and bigger. You work hard so you can provide for your family and you can give to the poor. And you're lending to the Lord. That's a biblical principle. All right, next thing, verse 25 and 26. This is one, hey, we're going to get serious now. 25 and 26. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I'll read that again. He didn't save the best for last. Maybe he did. But strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Dignity, the word dignity here, is translated from a word that means glory or splendor or majesty. That's what she's clothed with. Now here's, let's be practical again. That is not the cookie cutter image that the world will tell you that a woman needs to look like. The cookie cutter image is going to be found on like MTV or something. I don't even know if that's still around, but I think it is. But that it's going to be on TV and it's going to be some supermodel and all that. Never once does it talk about image in here. It just doesn't. What are you clothed with? Strength, dignity, glory, splendor, majesty. Now see, what's the world teaching you young ladies? And even ladies with kids, what does the world teach you? Dress provocatively. Dress seductive. The more you do that, the more power you'll have over men, right? Now, you'll have some, you know what? They're right. You're going to have power over men, but it's not going to be the man that I preached about 2 months ago. You're going to attract the wrong kind of man if you try to, if that's the image that you want. Mature, godly men will not be impressed. In fact, you know what they'll do? They'll run from you. We've been talking, Josh, I know, last week, and I'm sure, well, we're past it now in their Sunday school class downstairs. They talked about Joseph. When Joseph went in to work in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife, oh, got herself all dressed up and grabbed Joseph and said, come on, buddy, let's go. And Joseph said, oh, I'm out of here, and he ran, right? Why? Because he was a godly man. You do that, and what happens? Godly men will run. 1 Peter, turn to 1 Peter. I'm almost done. Turn to 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 5. Likewise, wives. Oh, wait. Give me an amen. I get excited and I get rolling. Tell me when you're there. 1 Peter is a hard one to find. If you haven't done Bible drill, which we have Bible drill after church today. I'm excited to watch these kids. Who's there? Amen? Amen. All right, here we go. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 5. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, even if some do not obey the word, they might be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. Yeah, that goes completely against what the world's going to tell you. That goes completely against that. A biblically minded man who is thinking about things of God knows that there is so much more value and worth in a woman than her outward appearance or the gold and the jewelry. And here's the thing. And they're going to know what her worth is to God. And a woman who degrades herself in clothing and jewelry, it's just, and thinks that that's what impresses people, it's just, that's not, it's not. So ladies, you don't have to be like Mr. T on Valentine's Day, okay? Don't have to be high maintenance, right? Isn't that the more right word instead of Mr. T? But don't be high maintenance. Be in the heart, the heart. I love this verse, Proverbs 11:22. Says like a gold ring in a pig's, like a gold ring in a pig's, woman without discretion. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. You have discretion over what you wear. Clothe yourself with modesty. All right, last one. No, I got two more actually, and I'm gonna go. I'm gonna hurry. Takes care of her household. Verses 27 through 29. She takes care of her household. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. A godly woman, a wife and a mother, cares for her family that in such a way that she tends to the needs of the household, of her husband, and of her children. Raising the children, helping your husband, these are things godly women do for their household. And what should we do? We should praise them. We should praise them and praise them. Because I'm the preacher and I get to talk, I get to brag on my wife this morning. She works 3 days a week away from the house. She buys the groceries. She does the laundry. She makes sure the kids are fed and bathed. She reads her Bible daily. She prays for me. She prays for you. And she supports you. I've just honored her publicly. Honor your wives today and call them blessed, because we should be so thankful. Lastly, last thing. Verse 30, she fears the Lord. She fears the Lord. Charm is deceitful, beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to start connecting the dots here. The fear of God is what motivates godly behavior in women and men alike. Now, that's not a fear of huddled in a corner shaking. It's a reverence for who God is and who we're not. And that we're so appreciative of what he did for us that we want to follow him and we want to obey him and we want to do what he wants. Fear here means to stand in awe and reverence of respect, to be fearful of God's holiness, that he is Almighty God. What does Proverbs 1:7 say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So here's the review, and then we're going to take communion. We're not going to have an invitation this morning, but here's the thing. I'm going to have a time of prayer before we take communion this morning. And if I've touched on something that you've been convicted of, ladies or men, that you haven't been praising your wife over, I want you to repent of that. And probably most of you are sitting by your spouse this morning, unless you've been in a Sunday morning fight, which are classic in our house, right? And maybe you're not. Hopefully you are. But I want you to thank your spouse. I'm going to give you a time of prayer this morning here in a minute. But here's the review. First thing is you got to want this. You got to seek to be a godly woman, ladies. What are the characteristics of this? One, your husband needs to trust you. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Be faithful. Remember the vows that you took before God. You be faithful even if he's not faithful. You do the right thing. Be hardworking. It's okay to work away from the home. Work hard, whether you're at home or whether you have a secular job. Work hard. Work hard. Be generous. Be kind to the poor. Show them grace and mercy. These are godly traits that can be seen in our relationship with him. We don't deserve grace and generosity from God, yet what does he do? He gives it. He gives it. We should show that. Dress with modesty. Dress with dignity and worth. Be kind to people in how you talk to them. Do people look at you and see you as a rude and standoffish? Or do they see you as a loving, kind woman of God? Understand your worth before God and what he did for you on the cross. Work hard at home. Take care of your household. The kids need their teeth brushed. They need baths. Dinner needs to be cooked. Now, I'm not saying anything that men can't do too, but us men sometimes forget the toothbrushing. And my working in a dental office, she doesn't 2 minutes brush your teeth for 2 minutes. She makes sure and remind everybody. I appreciate that about her. And guys, we can support her in those things. This isn't a male chauvinist sermon where I say, ladies have fun doing all the work and we just sit back. No, no. We can support her in all those things and do them. And all of these things are accomplished because we fear the Lord. Respecting out of reverence for God will start to motivate us to do these things. I want to pray for you, and then I'm not going to have our elders come yet. I want to pray for you this morning. And as we enter our time of communion, where we take up communion, I want to tell you guys this morning that we have an open communion here. You don't have to be a member of our church. You do have to be a professed follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want. That's what we want. And so at this time, what I would like you to do, as I pray, I want each of us to take a few minutes, and I want you to think about some of the things that we've talked about today. I want you to think about what Christ did for you on the cross, how much mercy and grace he poured out, and that this time should be a time where we are so thankful for what he's done. It should also be a time that Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Paul gives a warning there. Don't take this communion if you have unrepentant, unconfessed sin in your life. If you have things in your life that you know you're wrong on, you need to get them right with someone. You get them right. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to take a few minutes. I want you to spend time in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. I thank you for everyone here, and I thank you for your word today, Lord. And I'm very thankful for Selena and my mother and my sister and my girls who are learning how to be godly women. I'm thank you for the women in this church that set a huge example here. I think of Carol Hartman, and I don't want to mention everyone's names and embarrass them, Lord, but I'm thankful for the women that you have at this church and that they are teaching other women how to be godly women. And Lord, today I want to honor Selena personally, and I want our men, Lord, to honor their wives and for you to get the glory for that, Lord, and let us be thankful. Father, during this time also, let us be mindful of sin that we have in our lives and any unconfessed or unrepentant sin, and let us take that serious. Let us take serious what we're about ready to partake of, that's remembrance of your son Jesus. And Lord, so if we have things in our life that we need to confess and repent of, let us do that. Lord, we love you, and in all things we do want to honor you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take a couple of minutes, and then I'll have our elders come up. said, amen. I'm going to ask our elders to come this morning. So we are trying something new this morning. Let me explain this. I already have it's an open communion. You don't have to be a member. We're only going to be passing it out once because we have two cups that are stacked on top of one another. You're going to see the juice first, and the cracker is below. We're going to take the juice first today, then the cracker to remember the body and blood. I'm going to read some verses. So we're not going to be passing out twice. You'll get one today. So they had gathered to celebrate Passover, and Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 was said that Jesus, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." After they had done that, in verse 27, and he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you, for this is the blood of the covenant which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So as we remember this today, let us look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or look forward to our physical death here on this earth. For our brothers and sisters in Christ, this shouldn't be something that we're fearful of. It should be a day of excitement and joy that we get to spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask Alan this morning if you would please bless the cup. Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Take ye and drink." He also said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take ye and eat." Scripture tells us that they went out singing. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. Before we do that, I want to give you a couple of quick announcements. About 10 minutes after we're done, we're going to have a short business meeting. Right after the business meeting, we have some young ladies that are going to be taking part in associational Bible drill. I encourage you to stay and watch them. They've memorized about 25 verses, a whole bunch of key passages, and the books of the Bible. It took a lot of time. Tonight, there is no evening Bible study. The association has asked us to come to the revival at Diggins Baptist Church tonight at 7 o'clock. For a time of prayer and service. So if you would like to join myself and several others, you can do that. So like I said, Scripture tells us they went out singing, so I'm going to ask Tristan if he would lead us in Amazing Grace. And after that, you all are dismissed.